Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
When you look this clean, I'm a classic man. Calling on me like a young OG, I'm a classic man. Your knees get met by the street, elegant, old-fashioned man.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally here with Sean Boyd. Always a classic man, that is Sean Boyd. What's going on?
Well, hey, what's going on, everybody? Of course, it is an excellent weekend. If you are an NFL fan in the Pacific Northwest, and if you are an Oakland Raider fan in Northern California, actually Hawks fans, Raiders fans all around the world, great weekend, Sean Wally.
Absolutely. Big wins for both clubs, and we'll be talking about both games throughout the hour. A huge show tonight. Not one, not two, but three guests firing out of the chamber tonight. We've got G. Scott coming up here in moments from 710 ESPN Seattle. Mark Dembski from Fox 40 in Sacramento, guest number two. And guest number three, Jason Gesser, former Washington State quarterback and analyst on the radio program, radio broadcast for Cougar football.
And, you know, Sean, I mean, it has been a fantastic weekend for college football, for professional football, all around. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to some great talk with all three of our guests. And so, man, it should be fun.
Well, let's go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in G. Scott of Justin and G. 10 to 12, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. G, thanks for your time tonight.
No problem, fellas. How y'all doing this evening?
Good, man, good. And, of course, we've been talking a lot about what has been going on in the NFL. And, of course, the Seattle Seahawks kind of starting things out rough in the first half of the season. But, of course, you know, a divisional game will always make it better, especially against those rivals, the San Francisco 49ers. Man, what's the word up there in the Pacific Northwest with the Seahawks? Are they feeling better? Are they feeling like they're going to make this thing right?
Well, you know, winning is like Febreze. You know what I mean? It always makes things smell better. You know what I mean? And when things smell better, you know, things are just better. You know, this Seahawks team is like any other team in the National Football League. It just needed a win. Win sometimes helps. It brings confidence. It brings confidence to the team. It brings confidence to the fan base. And, of course, it brings confidence to the city. I mean, here's a team right now that's 3-4 who we've seen this team play. This team, even though they're 3-4, they really could be 6-1. But in the NFL, we know that it's about a game of inches, and sometimes things can go a certain way. And they haven't gotten those breaks. They've lost some fourth-quarter leads that they were not used to seeing. And, you know, they'll go from there, and they'll get better. They got a huge game this weekend as they travel to Dallas out there, and, you know, that'll be a chance for them to go even at 500, to go 4-4 and go into a huge break. You know, their bye week is next week, and then after that, they come home to play against the Arizona Cardinals, of course.
Now, G, what were some things that you saw from the Seahawks that, you know, they probably made better from weeks prior?
Well, what was better against San Francisco in that game, and what has been the problem that's been going on this season, yes, you know, the offensive line has been an issue, and they haven't really done as well as they've done in the past. But, you know, one thing about the National Football League, the offensive line tends to get picked on a lot. It's always the default blame. But one of the things that's been sticking out has been the depth of the D-line. If you take it back to 2013, when this team was really, really deep at the D-line spot. You talk about Chris Clemens, you talk about Red Bryant, and of course, you know, that time you had Meebane and Tony McDaniel. And then guys that were coming off the bench on third down who weren't getting as many reps, but they were really fresh. Now you're talking about Cliff Averill, Michael Bennett, Clint McDonald, and those type of things. So now you go into this year, current day, Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett are getting 80-plus snaps a game. Jordan Hill hasn't been healthy, so he's out. So now you're starting to rely on the Cassius Marsh, the David Kings, the Frank Clarks, And it takes a little while, from what I've been told by a lot of these D linemen, that it takes a little while for a D lineman to get as good as they should be in the NFL. It usually takes 3 to 4 years. But at the same time, Frank Clark is a great talent. He's a rookie this year. And, of course, Cassius Marsh is in year two. So what needs to happen right now, as you've been seeing in the fourth quarter, the defense is kind of gassed a little bit. So it helped in this last game that the Seahawks were able to convert on those third downs and keep the defense off the field, therefore giving the defense a rest. So I think what we're going to see going forward is you're going to see continued success with that D-line as some of those younger guys get better and help with the depth, which helps the defense and going forward.
Gee, how much do you think that Seattle defense took it upon themselves, took it on their shoulders to play an entire four quarters and not let a lead slip away late in the game that has been happening early in this season?
Again, I'm sure, you know, that defense is a bunch of alpha dogs. It's a bunch of guys that's been with this team. That, you know, most of the pay comes from that side of the ball. They account for a lot of the money that's on the Seahawks payroll. But at the same time, even though the defense prides themselves on getting off the field and doing what they're supposed to do, it still helps when the offense is able to convert on third down. You go back to that San Francisco game. When you end the third quarter, the Seahawks converted a third down. They go into the fourth quarter. They convert two more third down possessions, and therefore keeping the ball for a longer period of time, letting the defense have a break. The defense comes back on the field after that time of possession and forces a three and out. So again, offense helps defense, defense helps offense.
And that offense airing it out a little bit more in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium Thursday night. Russell Wilson hooking up with Tyler Lockett, the awesome rookie from Kansas State, the deep ball. It seems like Russell was, you know, trying to throw it downfield a little bit more. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't, but it was good to see that the offense was willing to do that.
It was good. It was really – I thought Russell played excellent that game, to be honest. I mean, he did throw a couple interceptions, but, you know, one of the things that I sometimes feel that Russell does maybe too much is gets a little conservative and gets a little shy of making that mistake. And it just seemed as if on last Thursday night – he seemed as if he actually wanted to take a couple chances. And I don't think the defense was ready for that deep ball that he did throw to Tyler Lockett. So it was great to see. But at the same time, it's easier for the offense to open up. It's easier for Russell Wilson to do those things when they, in the beginning of the game, they start off going with the beast. And this offense goes as Marshawn Lynch goes.
G. Scott joining us here on the Double G of the Justin and G Show on 710 Cairo. Hey, G, I wanted to shift gears a little bit. Of course, there's something that I wanted to talk about, something that you are doing for the community with the Boys and Girls Club. And I believe that was something that you started with Marcus Trufant, and that is the Dinner with Friends. And that's coming up this Thursday, the 29th, at the track in Pasco. Give our listeners what the Dinner and Friends is all about.
Well, this is going to be fantastic. It's a great fundraising event for the Boys and Girls Club there in town. I was blessed and honored to be there, part of it last year, and now coming back this year to be a part of it. And as you all know, Gary Payton will be a keynote speaker, so he will be there. So I'm quite sure there will be a lot of laughs and everything. And it's just going to be a good time. You know, again, the Boys and Girls Club, you know, when you think about something like that, they're huge. Not just huge where you are. They're huge here in Seattle. They're huge back where I'm from, Chicago. They're huge everywhere. And the Boys and Girls Club, you ask most of these guys that are in the NFL today, and they'll tell you, most of these guys have had some opportunity or have had a close friend that has benefited from being a part of the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah, you're definitely right, G. For me, the Boys and Girls Club was, you know, one of those areas that allowed me to actually, you know, meet new friends after school and, you know, actually, you know, allowed me to mature a little bit. You know, I mean, our parents, you know, I was fortunate enough to have a mom and a dad, which some kids didn't. But with that being said, you know, socially, the Boys and Girls Club helped me out as far as, you know, growing up in my lifestyle today as well.
Yes, sir. I mean, again, I mean, that's a huge opportunity. And like you said, you were blessed to have a mom and dad. And for some that do and for some that don't, the Boys and Girls Club is just a place for everybody. It's a place that usually 9 times out of 10 you're going to meet you know, meet some friends. And, you know, I actually had the opportunity that I still have friends to this day that I met from the Boys and Girls Club back in Chicago. And it's funny thing is the Boys and Girls Club, these are things that was huge for my dad coming up. So it just keeps going and keeps going. And so to be a part of a fundraising event like this at the track on Thursday night, Gary Payton is going to be there. It's just going to be fun. And plus, I'm not going to lie to you, man, any reason to come over to the Tri-Cities, I love the Tri-Cities, bro.
Gee, what did the Boys and Girls Club teach you and help you learn about life?
You know, it taught me how to make friends, if that kind of makes sense. You know, when you're in school and just when you go to regular school, you kind of go in and you're in class and you're learning. And not to say that it takes away from the social aspect of it and everything, but just things are kind of different. And, you know, for me, when I went to school, you know, school didn't come as easy for me as it did for a lot of other kids. But I just felt like when I would go to the Boys and Girls Club, man, it felt like the counselors and the people and the staff, I felt like I belonged a lot more. And one of the things that it really taught me was it just taught me to open up and talk to different cultures and different people. Because where I come from in Chicago, man, like the neighborhood I grew up in, there was nobody of Caucasian descent in my neighborhood. You know, it was all blacks in the neighborhood. So when you got a chance to go to that Boys and Girls Club, you know what? There were Caucasian kids and Hispanic kids, and having the opportunity to meet different walks of life, man, those things you remember, man. And so as you get older, you realize, man, this is real life right here. So I would say the biggest thing it just taught me how to be social, man, and how to try to belong and just how to make friends.
Gee, what do you remember about last year's event in Pasco where your buddy Marcus Trufant was the keynote speaker that you will now be able to relate to and bring to the table this Thursday when you host the event?
Well, what I did like about the event, man, is first of all, there was a lot of people in attendance, man, and the support there was huge. The energy in that room and the way that people were there to support this great cause. And of course, Marcus, he did a great job in speaking and telling his story about how the Boys and Girls helped him. And, you know, Marcus is another person who comes from a home with a mother and a father, but still the Boys and Girls Club was huge for him in getting out and making friends and long-lasting friends that he has today. And, you know, when I look forward to Thursday and thinking back to last year, I can only imagine, you know, the energy of Gary Payton. And I got to make a confession about something, man. But, you know, we're talking about Gary Payton, man. The fact that, you know, I'm going to get to hang out with Gary Payton and have fun at this event. I mean, I got to tell you guys, I'm looking forward to Thursday. And for those that are going to be there, it's going to be a fantastic time.
G. Scott joining us here on The Double. And, of course, you know, G., I'm excited as well, even though, unfortunately, I won't be able to make it. But, man, I'm going to be here in Northern California, and I've got some duties that I've got to do here for Fox Sports. And so, man, it's unfortunate. But, yeah, I would love to. Of course, having Gary Payton talking about his upbringing. And, it's going to be a fun one.
Yes, sir.
Now, G, of course, you know, with Gary coming in, of course, he's going to be talking about, you know, his times with the Seattle Supersonics. Do you think he's going to bring his championship ring that he won?
I don't know. I don't know if he really wants to, you know, I don't know how celebrated that's going to be. I mean, would you like to see the championship ring from the Miami Heat? I mean, it's great. It's cool. GP, we love you and all, but nah, bro, we don't want to talk about that. Don't people want to talk about 96? And don't you want to talk about those glory years? Nobody want to talk about no Heat championship.
So we're just going to keep it in the Pacific Northwest. I hear you, man. Of course, those great teams that you're mentioning with Sean Kemp and Gary Payton, Hersey Hawkins, Detlef Schrempf and Frank the Tank Brickowski, all the whole nine, man. You know, yeah, those were fun times, that good run with the Seattle Supersonics and George Karl.
Yeah, don't nobody want to talk about Miami Heat, man. Matter of fact, I forgot he played for the Miami Heat. Matter of fact, I don't even want to talk about that. I just want to talk about the glory days in that Sonic uniform. You know what I mean? You know,
that's some good stuff.
To Sean Kemp, man. We're still alive.
That's how we all need to remember GP in the green and gold. G. Scott of Justin and G. 710 ESPN Seattle, also heard on 1340 ESPN Tri-Cities. 710sports.com. G. Scott, thank you for your time. Safe travels on Thursday, and I look forward to seeing you Thursday night as you host Dinner with Friends.
Oh, yes, man, sir. And have fun.
All right.
There goes G. Scott doing great things in the Pacific Northwest, heading to the Tri-Cities early Thursday morning, hosting Dinner with Friends, where Gary Payton is the keynote speaker.
Yeah, you know, Sean, I remember last year when you were at Dinner with Friends, and of course you had the great pictures with G and Marcus, and of course that's how all you guys met. And, you know, it's a great, great event. And so, of course, supporting the Boys and Girls Clubs in any community is always a plus, and I know you're going to have fun with this one as well. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to have guest number two. That is none other than Mark Dembski of Fox 40 in Sacramento. Keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So, guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd. And let's go back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number two tonight. And that is Mark Dembski of Fox 40 in Sacramento. Mark, thanks for your time tonight.
Hey, good evening, guys. What's going on? We're shaking on a Monday night, right?
Man, well, of course, you know, for the Double S Express, Mark, we always battle against Monday night football. And so we thank you for your time. And of course, our faithful listeners are always tuned in, so, man, it's good to have you on.
You know what? I'm happy to be here. You and I, Sean, we've crossed paths before. It was great to see you, what was it, Thursday night out at the Levi's Stadium. getting ready, watching the 49ers and the Seahawks, or should I say just the Seahawks perform. But it was a good time. It was good always catching up with you.
Yeah, you know, that game was set to be, you know, one of the bigger games of the season still, even with both coming in at 2-4, and they were bringing up the rear in the NFC West. Man, if you would have talked about this game at in the offseason, you'd probably be saying that this game was for first place, but it wasn't. And, man, both teams are heading in opposite directions right now.
You know, when I was driving down there, I was actually kind of thinking about, you know, that was supposed to be the next great rivalry in the NFL, right? I mean, you had Pete Carroll against Jim Harbaugh. You had Richard Sherman against Michael Crabtree. You had Colin Kaepernick against, you know, Wilson. So, I mean, all that's left is the quarterback matchup, and that's not even that good anymore. So the other thing that struck me is, and you were at that game like I was, at the end of that game, players, look, I'm all for good sportsmanship, but players were exchanging jerseys. They were, you know, posing for pictures. I mean, my Twitter account was blown. I had different pictures. I mean, I was thinking, what happened? I mean, what made that great was all the smack talking and the fact that they didn't like each other and all that stuff. That was the entertainment value.
Yeah, you know, Mark, you're right, because I was thinking, you know, here in Northern California, there was a big deal about the Seattle Seahawks winning during Thanksgiving, and it was called Turkey on the 50. And I don't know if that was called that up in the Pacific Northwest, Sean Wally, but, you know, down here in Northern California, it was Turkey on the 50, and it was, you know, it was something that stuck with the 49ers all the way up until this game, and I thought that they would battle and they would fight a little bit more. I don't know what's going on, Mark. I mean, you know, I know that, you know, management has done some things. They've had an unknown fire sale and getting rid of people. They've had players retire. I mean, we're looking at a team that is actually starting over from scratch.
They really are. I mean, boy, what a disappointment on Thursday night in front of their home crowd. I mean, you had a lot of folks that just didn't even bother to show up that night, and then they left early. A lot of them that did show up left early. I mean, this was supposed to be an exciting year for the, you know, for the 49ers, but really it's turned out to be kind of, well, actually no kind of. It's been a dud. Players were leaving early from the locker room. We tried to get there and talk to several of the guys, and man, it was a ghost town in there, but it has been a disappointment. And I, you know, I don't know. You know, people are talking, boy, you know, the Niners are going to win one more game the rest of the season. Of course they're going to win another game. I mean, you know, you're probably looking at, you know, 2, 3, 4 wins for this team more throughout the rest of the regular season. But, you know, that's going to be it. And then management's going to have to decide what they want to do. Do they want to go forward with Colin Kaepernick as their quarterback? Do they want to go forward with Jim Tomsula as their head coach? Do they want Trent Baalke to be pulling the strings and bringing in the players? I mean, at this point right now, honestly, it wouldn't be far-fetched to think that they might just blow this whole thing up and start over from scratch and let somebody else, like a Jim Harbaugh that's got experience, that knows what he wants to do, to come in there and run the show and build it back up. I don't even know if there is another guy like Jim Harbaugh out there, to be honest with you.
No, there's only one Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, that it's amazing that they let him go, and these are the rewards that the 49ers get for letting a great coach like that go.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, kind of ironic that, right, the weekend before, I mean, you're talking what, that game was on a Thursday, Seattle and San Francisco, and then that Saturday before that, here's Jim Harbaugh putting his Michigan Wolverines in the national spotlight, albeit they did lose that game in dramatic fashion. They should have won it, but yet everybody was talking about Michigan. Lost their opener at Utah, won 5 in a row, had 3 straight shutouts. Now they were taking on Michigan State. Great ball game. And, you know, they lost it at the end on just a crazy play. But Michigan is relevant, and the 49ers aren't.
Mark Dembski joining us from Fox 40 in Sacramento. Mark, how have the 49ers fallen so fast from battling for the NFC West and also the NFC title?
Well, you can't put it all on Jim Harbaugh. I mean, I think that, you know, losing him was certainly a big piece of the puzzle. But I think 49er fans knew that, you know, probably this time last year. You know, you look at who else they lost on the defensive end. You can't lose a guy like Patrick Willis. I mean, you know, Navarro Bowman is not the same Navarro Bowman. Justin Smith, he's gone. I mean, you had key elements on the defense and, you know, also on the offense. I know Frank Gore was getting older and he hasn't been that relevant for the Colts up until this, you know, up until this point right now. But, I mean, really, the Niners don't have a solid running back. They don't have a quality wide receiver that is healthy. Anquan Boldin, I think, is fantastic when he's healthy. But he hasn't been relevant because of Colin Kaepernick's play. And you're not letting Colin be who Colin Kaepernick is at the quarterback position, good or bad. I mean, if you want to put him back there and you want to let him run the football, which I think they should, you're also going to take a lot of hits and you're probably going to get your quarterback hurt. So it's a tough situation for the 49ers at the quarterback position, but really you can't put it all on Harbaugh. You got to look at all the other moves. And then the coaching staff is completely different as well.
Mark, is Kaepernick being asked or told not to run and not move around in the pocket because he seems to be trying to be a pocket passer and the results are just not there?
Well, we've seen him a lot under center this year. And I think, you know, obviously the reason is the 49ers like the running game. And when they're going to pass, it's better to get play action going from under center than it is in the shotgun. But I think you've got to deal with what you have. And Colin Kaepernick is a fantastic athlete with a strong arm that plays the quarterback position, in my opinion. And I would put him back there and run the read option and let Colin Kaepernick play to his abilities, good or bad, hurt or not hurt, let it happen. I mean, I'm sorry, but you have what you have in Colin Kaepernick running the show, running the offense, and you got to let him do what he's accustomed to doing, what he's done from his days at Pittman High School, you know, here in the Valley, all the way through his days in UNR and in the pros. Yes, teams will scheme for it better, but ultimately it's what he does best, and you want to put your players, your best players, in the best position to succeed. And I think right now the Niners aren't doing that with the way that they're keeping him under wraps. And I know you're taking a big risk and he's going to get hit and he's going to get hit hard and he may go down with injury. But really, that is how you built your football team. And that is what you have.
Mark Dembski, news and sports anchor with Fox 40 in Sacramento, joining us here on The Double. Now, Mark, shifting to the other side of the bay, of course, you know, when we talk about football, NFL football in Oakland, it hasn't been pretty over the past 10 years. But this year is a little bit different. The Raiders have turned things around and, you know, sitting right now at 3-3 on the season. Great win yesterday against the San Diego Chargers. Do you see a tremendous upside happening for the Raiders here, if not this year, in the next couple of years?
I do see progress, and I like this group, and I'm excited. I think that Raider fans should be excited. They should enjoy the moment, but you shouldn't expect this team to be any more than maybe an 8-8 football team this season, and that is not a knock. I think if you ask hardcore Raider fans, they would be happy with that. And seriously, that was the best football game yesterday that I've seen the Raiders play in some time. And they're relevant, and they can beat you if you don't line up. I mean, there was a time, not long ago, where you could line up and beat the Raiders without really trying. And now those days are over. They've got a solid defense with a great defensive coordinator who's doing different things to you know, each and every week. I mean, Phillip Rivers had just come off throwing for 488 yards against the Packers on the road. And, yeah, you can say that he got hot late in the fourth quarter, but that was garbage time. And the Raiders were physical with him. They knocked him around. They clogged the passing lanes, and they did not let him get going for the first three quarters of that game. And so, you know, really, you know, this is going to be kind of one of those games Sunday against the Jets at home where they can judge themselves a little bit. And, you know, the Jets are a good football team. I mean, look what they did in New England yesterday, and they're coming in with a 4-2 record. Raiders are 3-3. Oakland, if they can get that win, that would be a big win at home. I mean, I know last Sunday or yesterday was a big win for them, but I think they are doing the right things, and they may be a year or two away from really being in the conversation as long as things go well and guys stay healthy. But, I mean, there's a lot to like with this football team, both offensively and defensively and with the coaching staff.
Yeah, most definitely. I believe exactly what you're saying. If you ask diehard Raider fans if the team was going to be 8-8, we would all say, yeah, this would be a great year moving forward. And so I see some tremendous things happening with the Raiders and some exciting things. So, you know, we'll just see how the rest of this season plays out.
You're going to have to. I mean, I'm excited to see that game on Sunday against the Jets. And, you know, and then you go from there. You want to see Latavius Murray establish himself as a guy that you can count on to get you those tough 2 or 3 yards when needed on a consistent basis, yet bust off some consistent, you know, 100-yard games. That would be an area of an improvement for the Raiders. I think the receiving core is dynamite right now. I don't know how much more Michael Crabtree has left in the tank after this season, but he's having a great year this year. Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, I mean, you know, even Clive Wolford, their tight end, know, I know Derek Carr is really high on that kid. And you know, they're fun to watch. And, you know, they're getting some good coaching as well.
Yeah, they're getting some excellent coaching from Jack Del Rio. And, of course, you know, he has some strong coaches coming in from Seattle, of course, and Ken Norton Jr. He's got the defense clicking on all cylinders. That defense didn't give up a touchdown for 9 quarters. Of course, you got Mike Tice as the offensive line coach. So, yeah, there's some strong anchors and tutelage as far as teaching is concerned. So, you know, I see nothing but a tremendous upside for the Raiders. Hey, Mark, I wanted to shift gears a little bit and, of course, you know, deal with some of the things that you do in the community. Of course, something that's near and dear to me, the reason why I got my start in doing the things that I do as far as radio is concerned. And of course, you teach a class, or you taught a class. And of course, I remember walking into that class and was at Sac State. And, you know, I just wanted to, you know, gain as much knowledge as possible. I remember watching you on TV and thinking, man, you know, this person has what I would like to learn. And so, you know, give our listeners a little bit about what it was that you did as far as teaching the class and, you know, what you're looking to do moving forward.
Well, I appreciate all the kind words, and I really, you know, I haven't had as much fun teaching that class. You know, I mean, that's one of the big things that I really enjoy doing. And I designed the class because there really wasn't a class out there that really taught people that wanted to either become play-by-play voices on the radio or TV sportscasters a hands-on experience. Yeah, you know, there were some broadcasting classes in high school. I didn't have that, but, you know, those were becoming more and more prominent. And when you got to college, you could kind of, you know, dive into that a little bit more. But I wanted those experiences. I wanted people to hear from the professionals, like, you know, Grant Napier, of course, the play-by-play voice for the Sacramento Kings on television. Gary Gerald, who does it, who's done it every year since, 1985 here in Sacramento, on the radio end. You know, people that that are near and dear to my heart that have, you know, helped me out and helped me get to places that I've been, and allow people to dive into it and digest what it takes to be either a sportscaster or a play-by-play voice. And you know, I mean, we talked about the specifics. We talked about doing football, basketball, baseball on the radio. We even went and as a class went to the Rivercats, and they were right. kind enough to help set us up and call a Triple-A baseball game, and you had the diamond notes before the game, and you had all the stats, and we went down to the field and talked with the manager, and, you know, you took in all the elements. And a lot of people don't realize that there it is an art form to create what you're seeing and paint that picture as it's happening. It is an art form. It is a skill. And you can get better at it. Lord knows, the first time I did it, I was horrible. And, you know, it's that type of thing. And I wanted you guys, meaning the students, to be in that setting and to experience everything that you would in a professional situation as much as I could. And so I think that I did. I was able to create that both in the play-by-play world, as well as, you know, in the television world and doing things in the studio and writing to your video and picking the highlights and all that stuff. So, you know, I did that for several years and I enjoyed that. And I really, you know, to this day, I would like to get back to it. It's a class that, you know, it is a concept. Nobody really is out there doing it. And I would enjoy doing it again. I just need help, guys. I mean, it's not easy to put on work a full-time job. I got a great family with four kids and, you know, and then put on an entire class and bring in, you know, 25, 30 students and everything like that, that goes into teaching a class and making sure everything's right. I do it on a much smaller scale. If people are interested, I will take you on as an individual client. I will take you on. I've had people come in kind of as a fantasy camp, so to speak, and we tailor make it, and maybe you do it with your buddy or a couple of buddies and, you know, this and that. But, you know, you get the resume tape, you get, you know, the experience, you do it. And I really enjoy giving back, because a lot of people gave back to me and helped me and allowed me to do that. To get where I'm at today. And so that was one of the most gratifying experiences that I've been through. And I still enjoy doing it. I love talking to you guys about it. I love talking to people. You know, there's not a day that, you know, or there's not a, I guess I should say, a handful of times each month somebody comes up, hey, you still teaching that class? Yeah, just like I saw you at the 49er game on Thursday night. Hey, how's that going? Well, you know, It's one of those great things that I did. I feel that was very self-gratifying.
Mark Dembski doing great things at Fox 40 in news and sports, and also giving back, teaching the ropes in the broadcasting world. Mark, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Mark.
You
appreciate
everything
you do.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. Enjoy your night, and anytime you need something, all right?
All right, and you too, Mark.
Take care.
There goes Mark Dembski in Sacramento from Fox 40.
You know, Sean, you know, I give a lot of credit to Mark Dembski and, you know, on the person that I am today. Of course, we have a great sports radio show, you know, and some of the things that he has done to allow this platform for us to do. I mean, what an awesome, awesome individual, and taking his time out and doing those things. Didn't get a chance to talk about, you know, one of his passions outside of the media, and that's the Sacramento animal shelter, some of those things that he does, and maybe he could have helped us or helped me a little bit with my dog, Sean Wally, because I know that you have yours down. But, you know, you've got the Fox Terrier and Cavalier. I've got the Yorkie Poodle, man. This guy's got a split personality. But, of course, you know, Mark doing those things. And you, for those of you who don't know, Mark Dembski also is a part of the final quarter on Fox 40. That's high school football on Friday nights with Jim Crandall and Christine Werner, doing some great things as well. And so, great guest in Mark Dembski and appreciate him for coming on. We're going to take another break. two awesome guests in the books. And when we come back, we're going to have guest number three, and that is Jason Gesser. Whew, man, he is the analyst for the Washington State Cougars. So keep it locked in to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep. The new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Are you tired of the gym scene in Tri-Cities, Washington? Tired of seeing all those ridiculous gym selfies? If you are ready to work on a better you, Power Alley Performance is the place you can reach your goals. From one-on-one personal training to group fitness sessions, the trainers at Power Alley Performance will help motivate you every step of the way. Trainers DJ and Lamont have a wealth of knowledge and experience that they are ready to share with you. Call Power Alley today at 509-554-4785 and tell them the Double S Express sent you for a complimentary half-hour session. Visit PowerAlleyPerformance.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd hitting the trifecta tonight. Let's go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Jason Gesser, the analyst on the Cougar Football Radio Network and former Washington State quarterback. Jason, what's going on tonight?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Man, we're doing great, but the question is how are you? Because, you know, when we started this season out for the Cougars, it did not look like it was going to be the season that it is now. You know, they started out with Portland State, and I was wondering what in the world is going on. But since then, man, these guys are looking sharp, 5-2, 3-1 in the Pac-12. Did you see this coming?
Yeah, going back to what you said after that first Portland State, you were wondering. I think we all were wondering, you know, and just paying attention and being close to this team from the spring to the fall. From spring to summer to fall camp, that first game was just so uncharacteristic and just really like, where was that? Where did that come from? And it really got us all worried because initially what I saw from the ball club going into that was that the leadership had changed. They had great leadership. They had a great vibe going with the team. Their mentality was different than the year before. And then that game came out there and you kind of make you wonder, you know, but then what you've seen from that point on is what I kind of expected. To be honest with you, I thought going into this season, this ball club was a 5-win ball club, possibly a 6-win ball club with winning a close game here or there. Now you go back, they won a close game at Rutgers. They won a close game in Oregon. They won a close game in Arizona. So they're pulling out those close games. And I think what you're seeing is the leadership coming through, no doubt. It's definitely taking its toll with this team, and it's pushing it in the right direction. And they laid that foundation work down in the offseason to when adversity hit, they relied on it and they went back on it. And you see them now pulling out games because, to be honest with you, you look at the society nowadays, you look at kids, okay, as they come up, blind faith now, it's hard to teach. It's hard to ask for. These kids want to see something to believe something. And so they actually see themselves come back in a game and perform in a game. They've actually seen what the coaches are telling them working. They're actually watching the film and saying, hey, look, if I do my own thing defensively and I don't have my responsibility, my contain, my gap, or whatever it may be, they're seeing for their own eyes that it's a breakdown. And they're seeing when they do that, that it's all of a sudden a great play for the defense. So they are building trust day by day with this coaching staff, a new defensive coordinator, a new quarterback back there behind them, and they're building that trust day in and day out, and they're moving forward. And you're seeing the play come on the field, and they're really starting to feel themselves, and they're feeling the right way and going the right way and have that confidence that no matter what happens, no matter what moment it may be during the game, it's not too big for them, and they're going to make the play.
And, of course, one of the things, Jason, that you had mentioned, this was a week prior when the Cougars won against Oregon State. You had talked about the unsung hero of the offense, and that being the offensive line. That carried over into the next week against Arizona. Now, that should make a quarterback feel real good. And, of course, Luke Falk, doing a good job and putting up some numbers.
Oh, they're in my mind, they are the biggest reason why the offense is clicking the way they're clicking right now. You can look at, and obviously all the sexy positions, the quarterback, great play, running backs, great play, receivers, great play, because they're showing the numbers. They show the stats to show that. The thing is that the offensive line has done such a good job running the football, going in and giving Luke the time to pass and throw. And as you've seen, Luke now, I want to say, in his 12th game that he's played, his 10th game, I want to say 10th start, if I'm not mistaken, but something like that, right around 8 or 9 or 10, right around there. But as you've seen him progress, these last two games, his anticipation, his timing, his progression has quickened up so much. He's not holding on to the ball as long as he used to. His internal clock has definitely gotten better. And that's a big part of the offensive line. Oregon State, they brought every blitz, anything you could think of possibly. Think of Kalani Sitake, the defensive coordinator for Oregon State. He is a blitzing machine. He is very exotic in what he tries to do. And that offensive line, including the running backs and their protection, man, they gave Luke the time that was needed to throw, and he took advantage of it on the one-on-one situation on the outside. And then, like you said, they just carried that play over to Arizona. And, man, it's they're really clicking right now. They're playing very well together. Another 100-plus yard game rushing again, which is not very common here in Washington State with how pass-happy they are. But they're starting to balance things out. And the other reason why I think they're starting to balance things out and doing so well in it is because of Luke Falk, too. You know, he's done such a great job of balancing things out in his play calls and his checks at the line of scrimmage. When it's a third and medium or a third and 4-6, and they're giving him a run box that has a successful run, he'll check to the run. He believes in the offensive line. He believes in the running back. And I'll tell you this, when you're an offensive line and you have a chance to prove yourself and that run box shows itself, and they know that it should be a run, it should be checked to a run, and you don't check to them for that run, that kills their confidence. That kills their ability to think that, hey, our quarterback doesn't believe in us. Well, he's doing that, and it's building their confidence day by day, game by game. And you're just starting to see this whole thing really start to boil over. And confidence, momentum, passion, that's a thing that you can't really teach. That's just something that comes along with each game. And they're really doing it right now internally as a team, and they're performing out there on Saturdays.
Jason, Luke Falk threw 62 times in Arizona. You saw every pass. He's limiting his turnovers. You're throwing the ball that much. It's pretty amazing how he's able to limit those interceptions.
Oh, it really is. And that speaks to him, his game prep, his mentality, and just how he plays the position. He's a perfectionist. He's very, very methodical in the way that he thinks and says, you know what, and there's a reason why there were a handful of sacks early in the season, and it wasn't because of the offensive line. It was because of Luke Falk was more than half of those, because he's sitting there saying, I'm not going to force the ball downfield, So I'm going to hold on to it rather and take a sack, a 6-yard sack, and know, hey, look, guess what, guys? We can still convert on a 3rd-and-16 or a 3rd-and-12. I don't want to turn the ball over. And what he started to progress into is going through his progressions even quicker these last couple of games to eliminate those sacks and to get down to his check down or just to throw the ball away so that you eliminate that negative play or to scramble at his feet and get back to the line of scrimmage, if not positive yards. So his mentality in protecting and realizing how important that ball is and how important each possession is for their offense, that's it's so impressive to see and so impressive to watch for, especially for, I mean, this kid's a sophomore. He's only started not even getting into his double-digit games. I mean, and he has that mentality, and he's a sponge, and he's trying to grow every single day. And to see him protect the football like that, I think he's at over 300-some attempts right now, and he only has 4 interceptions on the year. It's really remarkable.
Jason, this Saturday, Halloween, the Stanford Cardinal come to town, a national television broadcast on ESPN for the country to see the Cougars and Martin Stadium, very possibly the biggest game in Cougarland since you were under center.
Yeah, it's a big one, no doubt. I think that the Washington State fans have been definitely thirsting for this. I know the players are definitely ready for it. It's going to be a tough one. Stanford, they're on a roll as well, too. All the things that we talked about for Washington State, Stanford's doing the same thing as well, too. And they basically started their season off just like Washington State did, with a little hiccup and losing their first opener of the season. So it's definitely one of those things to where the moment's going to be very big. They understand that as each game grows and as you continue to win each game, the next game gets bigger and bigger, and all the implications get bigger and bigger. This one going to take the sole lead for Pac-12 North and basically to be a team that's going to control their own destiny and move forward. I mean, sitting at 1-2 right now. And so the fans are definitely ready for it. I know the team is ready for it. And it's going to be a great atmosphere, and I'm glad to be there, be a part of it, and see how this whole thing turns out.
Jason Gesser, color analyst for the IMG Network, for the Washington State Cougars, joining us here on the Double. Now, Jason, you listening to you talk, man, of course, this is great that you're an analyst for IMG, but listening to you talk, man, you have that coaching buzz. Now, is that something that you're looking to do moving forward? I mean, because, you know, when I'm listening to you, man, I'm sitting here as we speak, I'm stretching out my arm, I'm thinking, man, I got to do what I need to do to get better. Is that something on the horizon for you?
Yeah, obviously, you know my background. I have coached for a while and had my own business of coaching quarterbacks and camps and whatnot, and then coached collegiately. Been a coordinator, been an interim head coach, a passing game coordinator, and had some decent success. And it's something that I'm very passionate about. And, you know, I'm never one to close the door on anything. I'm always willing to do something. When you're very passionate about something and you know you're pretty good at it, it's hard not to do. But at the same time, what I'm doing right now at Washington State, it's so comfortable. It's just very, very not easy, but just very comforting to be a part of putting the Crimson and Gray back on, and to have my family. I have a wife and 3 kids. They love it here in Pullman, the situation that we have, myself and the roles that they have me here in director of development and fundraising for, you know, these million-dollar projects where I have to go and be a part of bringing in $38 million for our facilities here. Growing in those roles and being part of all the things from former engagement to student-athletes and former athletes to guest speaking and being MC and be a kind of that figurehead if Bill Moose is in there, our director of athletics. I can see myself growing into becoming an AD one day. That coaching bug, it's hard to get rid of. I will say that, but I'm not going to close the door out on anything. I'm a big believer in the big man upstairs, and he'll guide me in the right direction. And I'm gonna take it one day at a time and enjoy the position that he's putting me in right now, and see how far I can take this and kind of go from there.
Now, Jason, I got to ask you, tongue in cheek, with the exception of the first game of the season, man, the Cougars have been averaging probably about, it looks like, 39 points a game. What is tougher, being a color analyst calling that high-paced track meet, or are you actually quarterbacking on the field?
good question. I like to say that Quarterbacking on the field is a little tougher. Some other things you have to go into. If I'm his back there, and our play-by-play guy, Matt Chapman, he does a great job. He's a new guy this year. We've been flowing together pretty nicely. So I'd say quarterbacking on the field has more challenges than calling the game up in the box. But I will say this, being on that field and quarterbacking a team is kind of my sanctuary. It's kind of my comfort zone. And I really, really enjoy doing that. Now, obviously, my time has passed, and now just trying to pass my knowledge and mentorship on to younger guys to make their time as successful as possible, and hence the relationship I have with Luke Falk. So it's pretty nice to be a part of that and to kind of push things forward. So good question, though. I like that question.
Hey, it's tough being a color analyst, man. So I know. I mean, you know, Sean Wally and myself, you know, sometimes, you know, when we called games, it was tough keeping up. So, you know, I just wanted to mess with you. Just wanted to mess with
Arizona. It's not only against Arizona with the track meet, and they go fast, and trying to keep up. You know, the thing that I found out when guys go fast, teams are going fast, you just have to let your play-by-play guy go, and sometimes less is more, and I'm learning as I'm going along. So that's the kind of way that I'm taking it on that one.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Jason, with things looking up for the football team in Pullman, why should high school football players look at Martin Stadium, look at what's going on with Coach Leach and the program, and think about going to be a Washington State Cougar?
I think the biggest thing is that what you're seeing here, and so previously at Washington State, it was always kind of tagged that, hey, they don't have the facilities everybody else does. They don't have the opportunities to help me get to the next level that other schools may have. Well, that stigma is gone. Before, it was kind of viewed as a stepping stone for coaches. They didn't have the right pay across the board to compete with other schools. That's gone. So what you're seeing now is the facilities are pushed in the right direction. We're if not the best, or if we aren't the best, we're right there with the top three across the, not just across the Pac-12, but, you know, tops of in the country of where our facilities sit. And then you look at the pay as well, too, for the coaches. The coaches are getting paid pretty nicely and comparable across the board. So they're not going to go anywhere. It's more of a destinational area now than a stepping stone. The Martin Stadium has been completely pushed in the right direction. It is a major college football venue. The look of it, the feel of it, it's a college town. People are going to come out there and they're going to support you. The Cougar family, the community is something that it's real. And people, it's hard to say. People always say, you know, you can't explain it. You have to experience it. And I get that there's college towns across the country. But for whatever reason, this place is a little different. I don't know why. It's just that feel, that camaraderie that you always have from your Cougar fans and your Cougar alumni, your brothers that are next to you, and everything ingrained here. So, and then you speak on what's going on here. The tables are starting to turn. The team is starting to really develop. They're getting around that corner. They're pushing things towards to compete. Year in and year out. I truly do think that by the end of the season, you're probably going to be looking at a 6 or 7 win ball club, if not maybe 8. You know, I think this next Saturday is going to tell a lot. But that being said, I think that the following year is the big year where they're going to get into double digits and really push for a Pac-12 championship. And I think that from that point on, what you're going to see is you're going to see a contender every single year in the top three, top four of the Pac-12, and then a down year being a 6 or 7 win team, but constantly going to bowl games. So it's there for the picking. It's a school that's definitely on the rise. If you look at Bill Moose, our director of athletics, he did the exact same thing at Oregon before Oregon got to where they had their 10-year run. I know they're a little bit down this year, but they had a great 10-year run. I think Washington State's right in that making of, okay, they're going to start building some things up, and we're going to have a great run coming up here in the future. And if you're a young kid looking through everything, I'll say this. Hey, if you want to be a part of family and you want to be a part of everything, you have to have that right fit and the right mentality to be up here. And if not, we'll glad you shake your hand after the game and say, you know, say, hey, too bad you wish you could have been with us. But too bad with that loss. Good luck for your next week. You know, one of those things. So It's definitely a mentality and a place where kids coming out should take a very close look at it and see if it's the right fit for them.
Jason, you're a former Cougar quarterback. You are now an employee working all over the campus and on the broadcast of the football games. How pumped are you personally for this game, Halloween night, and how crazy is Pullman going to be?
I'm pretty pumped. And one of the big reasons I'm going to pull or say a little shameless plug right now, my grandpa is coming up from Hawaii, and he's never been to Pullman, Washington to watch a game. So I'm pumped for that personal standard right there of having him come up and being a part of this, seeing this, and my dad's coming from Hawaii. And so I have some personal ties into this weekend. And then obviously my family's at every single game. It's at Halloween. But then you talked about it earlier. You mentioned how big of a game this is for Washington State and for our university and for our program, not just football, but for our department. This is huge. You know, this is where, you know, things, energy is infectious. The positive passion is infectious. So having that's a whole feel, and it's feeling like it was when I was here. And we had those 3-10 win seasons, and we were going and competing, going to the Rose Bowl, and we were in the conversation all the time. And so I think that this game is going to be a huge, huge part of solidifying, hey, look, we're not just an up-and-coming team. We are a team that is growing, and we are a team that you're going to have to worry about us, not next year, but you're going to have to worry about us every single week for the rest of the season. You better prepare for us because we have a ball club, and I think this Saturday could be a big part of it. And I know you look at the Stanford Cardinal and what they've done. You look at Arizona State going jumping ahead. So the next two home games here, those two defenses has kind of been Washington State woes the last couple of years and have kind of had their number. And so to speak on that, I think that this is a chance for the Cougars to show, hey, look, we're over that. We're a new team. We're not going to let you control us or stop us like you have in the years past. And I think that's another big reason why, you know, I'm excited for this. It's another opportunity for these guys to prove themselves. And like you talked about earlier, in front of the entire country, not just in front of Martin State, but in front of the entire country. And I think that's a big part for them, and they're going to be pumped up and ready for it.
Jason Gesser, analyst for the IMG Cougar Football Radio Network, thank you so much for your time, your insight, and have a great time on Halloween and be safe out there as hopefully the Cougars get a win over Stanford.
Well, hey, yes. I appreciate you guys. Always fun to have you to be on with you guys. And if you ever need anything in the future, you let me know.
Sounds good, man. Good luck to you.
All right. Take care, guys.
There goes Jason Gesser from Pullman, Washington. Follow him on Twitter at Jason Gesser.
Man, you know, who would have thought that a game before the Apple Cup would be a game that is more important? And, of course, the Washington State Cougars taking on Stanford, you know, battling for supremacy. Of course, Stanford being in the southern portion of the Pac-12. You know, the only team that the Cougars are looking up to right now are Utah in the north. And so, you know, a far cry from what they look like in the beginning of the season. These guys have turned it around, Sean Wally.
And it goes to show how much fans overreact. We talk about it every week with the NFL, but the same can be said at the college level. The Cougars lose to Portland State. Everybody thinks the sky is falling. Leach has to go. And now they're 5-2, knocking on the door to challenge for the Pac-12 North.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, of course, you know, Jason being an analyst, he wants to kind of play things down a little bit. He understands he's on our show. He understands we have Northern California listeners, of course. And he says, hey, you know, we might be, you know, one of those 6-win teams and possibly get into a bowl. Shoot, man, the way these guys have been playing, the way they put up numbers, oh my goodness, they're looking a lot better than a 5 or 6-win team, I'll tell you that. You know, they've got, as we mentioned, Stanford, Arizona State coming up. They're decent. UCLA trying to find themselves. They're falling. Colorado, middle of the road, and then the Huskies. We don't know what in the world is going on with them. I think that they have a pretty good chance of having a strong, strong season. These Cougars do.
Yeah, it's something that hasn't been seen in Pullman for quite a while. So great to see good things happening there at Washington State. And not only that, but ESPN recognizing and broadcasting the Halloween night game all over the country.
Yeah, you know, we thought, Sean, that, you know, College Game Day was going to be here, and man, they just missed it. That would have been great. I mean, think about it. All these years that the Wazoo flag has been flying high. And as a matter of fact, I believe there are about four of them that are on College game day every week. I know I wake up 6 a.m. to watch. And, you know, you thought that ESPN would probably pay homage, but they just missed out on it. But that's okay. You know, we'll get a chance to see what's going on with Stanford and Washington State coming up this weekend.
It doesn't detract from the enormity of the game at Martin Stadium Halloween night. It is a bit of a shucks shoot bummer, but at the end of the day, the game is still what matters. It would have been awesome to have game day in Pullman, and they should have it at some point. It should have been Halloween. No better time to be there. But really, it probably came down to logistics for ESPN because we, as you know, Sean, a lot of our listeners know, Kirk Herbstreit, one of the talking heads on that pregame show, is also an analyst for college football on ESPN. The game he is working just happens to be the Temple game. So logistically, it would be very tough for him to get from Pullman all the way to Philadelphia in time to broadcast that game.
Yeah, you know, I understand all that, and I understand how business works, but it would have been great to see College game day in Pullman in the Palouse, but I guess we'll have to wait and see that materialize some other time. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to wrap up the show. Man, three solid guests. It's been a great one, guys, so keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. Man, it's been a great, great show. Three awesome guests, man. But, man, we've got a little bit more talking to do, a little bit more sports. Of course, there was an event that we were at this past Thursday, you and I together. So our listeners are probably taking a deep breath and going, man, finally the Double S Express doing some things. And we were at Santa Clara Levi Stadium, the big button fly for the Seattle Seahawks taking on the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, some of us were there for 3 days. I won't name names who was or was not, but, you know, I know there was another member of the Boyd family, Devon Boyd, paying his dues and punching his time card for 3 days there with me at Levi's Stadium and doing great things for CBS and the NFL Network. And you know, it was crazy seeing how many people and how many TV trucks they had there. And it took over 400 people to pull that off on Thursday night. Over, I believe, at least 8 TV trucks. It was ridiculous. Quite the production.
You know, it was great because, you know, everybody's gearing up for this big Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50 at Levi's Stadium. And so, you know, they're going to be big productions. I'm glad that you had the chance to make it down, of course, and get a chance to see some of the, you know, some of the broadcasters, some of the talent from the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, it was good. And, of course, it wound up in Seattle's favor. Both teams are 2-4 at the time. And, you know, Seattle making sure that people understand that they're not dead yet and they're not dead, period. And there's a lot of football to be played.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned the Super Bowl being back at Levi's Stadium for Super Bowl 50. I had a chance to transport the 50 that is solid gold, mind you, and the Lombardi Trophy. And we set that up out at the Fan Zone for NFL Network in the parking lot. Got to work alongside Michael Robinson, former Seahawk and 49er, as well as broadcaster Dan Helly and the rest of the crew out there at the Fan Zone. It was ridiculous on game day pregame because you're out there tailgating. You're out there where everyone is tailgating, having their favorite beverage, grilling their favorite food, smells great. The beverages are flowing. Man, it was tough to be at work.
So tell me this. Of course, the Clink is one of the top stadiums in the NFL. What'd you think of Buttonfly?
You know, I mean, it's awesome. It's one of the newest stadiums in the NFL, so it's hard not to be awesome. You better be awesome if you're going to be $500 billion or whatever the final dollar figure came out to be. It's a very spacious place. It's awesome for football, but where they put it and the logistics of getting in and out don't make any sense.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right, and that's one of the things that I talked about, the logistics as far as where they put Levi's Stadium. It's just in an awkward place, you know, to where there are a lot of corporate buildings around, no sports bars around. There's maybe a couple of fast food restaurants here or there and a couple of hotels. Super Bowl City will actually be in San Francisco, which is about a 35-minute drive from Santa Clara. So, you know, I'm sure that Jed York was thinking, you know, hey, I would love to have a stadium right next to the practice facility, but really didn't think it out as far as the locale is concerned, because you're right, it's nestled in the middle of a residential area. And, of course, on the other side is Great America, along with some of the corporate buildings there. And so not put in a good place.
Not at all. You know, you've got Silicon Valley, some of the big tech names that you know, anything that you can think of is probably there in Santa Clara. And then all of a sudden this gigantic stadium pops up. And as you said, there's no entertainment, there's no restaurants, there's no dining options for the fans to go to have fun. And the only thing is, you know, it's next door to Great America, a giant parking lot where they can tailgate. Other than that, seems like there's not anywhere for people to go, anything to do other than tailgate in that parking lot.
Well, you know, for visiting teams coming in, it's going to be an open house to where they'll get a chance to see Levi Stadium, you know, in all its grandeur, because that is the site for Super Bowl 50, and give them a chance or an idea to figure out if that's something that they want to participate in February. But, man, Seattle Seahawks did an awesome job, and congratulations to them on coming down and beating San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, Sean, you mentioned that the Super Bowl is on CBS, and they had almost a trial run for that broadcast, and they brought in all the bigwigs from CBS and all of the A crew, the A broadcast crew that will be involved in working that game, and hopefully you will be there as well working it for CBS. And somebody you and I both know is Diane, one of the production operations managers, and she saw me. She was just there taking it all in, and they had meetings because she'll be working the Super Bowl, and she came right up to me and said, hey, I missed you in Seattle a few weeks ago for the Bears game. Can I confirm you for the Steelers game? And I said, absolutely. That is the weekend of Thanksgiving. Ben Roethlisberger will be back, and the Pittsburgh Steelers will invade Seattle later on next in just about a month. And it will be great to be working that game.
Yeah, of course, you know, Diane Bowden, a very good friend of ours, and, you know, she's definitely the person to keep in contact with. So good that you had a chance to talk with her. And so looking forward to speaking with her in the next couple of weeks.
And this Sunday, you've got an excellent game to work at O.co. The New York Jets look to invade Oakland and take on the Raiders. It'll be a very stiff test for the Raiders. Two teams that are playing well right now. The Jets have a great defense, which you would expect from a Todd Bowles coached team. Be interesting to see how this one shakes out.
Well, you know, it's something that the Raiders will look for as, you know, a turning point in the season. You know, even though the Raiders were 3-13 last year, it's hard to believe you know, for Raider Nation. You know, maybe some of the other, you know, teams or other areas around the NFL say, hey, that's status quo. But it is hard to believe. And right now, after six games, they're 3-3. The Raiders are doing a pretty good job with their defense as well. Of course, Ken Norton Jr. doing an awesome job. And with the exception of the fourth quarter yesterday, which I believe was just they put themselves in prevent mode. The Raiders have went nine quarters before that quarter without giving up a touchdown. That says that their defense is on the rise. You're talking about former Seattle Seahawks Malcolm Smith, who was doing a phenomenal job leading the team yesterday with 11 tackles. And then, of course, DJ Hayden. He's that up-and-down DB that, you know, you love to hate him, but then you love him as well. He had 10 tackles to be second in tackles on the team along with an interception. They made it tough for Phillip Rivers. I think the New York Jets understand what they're about to embark on coming into the black hole. I think that they're going to bring their A game. Let's face it, Ryan Fitzpatrick's doing an awesome job. And, he's going to be ready to go. The Raiders have to make sure that they take care of home. And I believe if they get this win, this will be a signature win moving forward. And but, you know, that's the thing. They have to win this football game.
It's definitely going to be a good test for the Raiders to get a taste of where they're really at. Are they a team moving forward and on the rise? Even if they play a close game and lose by a late field goal, play the Jets close, or if they can come away with the victory, it'll be a great stepping stone moving forward.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing right now is that people are starting to recognize that the Raiders are not going away. And, you know, offensively, you have a franchise quarterback. The Raiders have found their franchise quarterback in Derek Carr. Latavius Murray had a great game, 85 yards rushing. The biggest thing is Derek Carr's weapons, you know, and Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper. Amari just looks phenomenal. Every time he steps out, he's doing some great things. He's putting himself in the record books time and time again as a rookie. And so the Raiders' offense up against the New York Jets' defense, especially their corners with Cromartie and Revis, you know, this should be fun to see, you know, if the offense can actually offset what the Jets' defense can do.
And, Sean, the Seattle Seahawks travel to Dallas November 1st to take on the Cowboys at Jerry World, but still no Tony Romo. Any chance that a Matt Cassel-led team leaves the Cowboys to victory?
Well, you know, I mean, Matt Cassel is a decent quarterback, but he's not a starter. And, you know, the way things have been going in Dallas, I don't know if you had a chance to see the Dallas Cowboys game yesterday. And one Greg Hardy just blow a fuse, I mean, knocking a clipboard out of the hands of the special teams coach, you know, also going up and fighting against Dez Bryant. They had a couple of words going back and forth. You know, I know that former players will say, hey, you know, this was much ado about nothing. This was just somebody playing with passion. Come on. This is Greg Hardy that we're talking about. This is a guy that's been given not a second chance, but a third chance. This is somebody who has the history that he has had. I'm not going to hash all of those things out, but for those of you who know Greg Hardy, you know what those are. You know, this is a problem for the Dallas Cowboys that they're trying to downplay, and Seattle's just going to go in and run roughshod up against these guys.
Yeah, it's going to be going into Dallas is never easy, but with backup one or backup two quarterback, whichever they throw out there, Whedon or Cassel, they have been winless in Dallas since Romo left, and that should continue on Sunday.
Hey, Sean, of course, you know, this is – we should be happy because both of our teams, and it hasn't been consistent all year because, of course, you're looking at Seattle at 3-4 and the Raiders at 3-3. Man, both teams won over the weekend. And that, man, wait, do I hear? Hold on just a second. Yes, I do hear celebration. Man, this is a time to celebrate both the Raiders and the Seahawks winning over the weekend. We can throw in the Washington State Cougars as well. Man, celebration is upon us here on the double with the Double S Express. And, of course, you know, it's exciting when you're happy and I'm happy. That makes it for a happy show for all of our listeners, man.
Absolutely. The Black Hole, the 12s, Raider Nation, everybody smiling as their teams won this past week.
Now, of course, you've got some things going on this week as well with the SWX. You know, some high school football, I believe, is in full swing with the end of the season coming near.
Man, Sean, it's been a crazy week and a half for myself. Of course, a week and a half ago, Thursday, had a high school football game at Kennewick High School where Kamiakin was hosting Hanford. So I worked that game, ran camera on the field. Then Saturday, worked the Oregon UW game. Monday, drove all the way down to you in the EG studios just in time for our show. Last week, Tuesday through Thursday, worked at Santa Clara for CBS / the NFL Network, and Thursday night football. Friday, I made the longest drive ever from Santa Clara to Ellensburg, Washington, so I could get up early on Saturday and work Central Washington football for SWX. Woo, and I'm not done. We've got SWX going tomorrow, a power play hockey show at Chemo's Sports Bar for the Tri-Cities Americans of the WHL, to be followed by Friday night football on SWX. And who knows, there's a possibility I may be invited by ESPN to work the game in Pullman. I don't know when I'm going to get to rest.
Man, it sounds like you are going full throttle. And not only do you do things with the Harlem Globetrotters, of course, you're working with SWX, and now you're mentioning hockey. Man, that's the way you do it, man. That's how you stretch your prowess, man. So awesome. Awesome work. No doubt about it.
Yeah, just got to keep rolling and take the punches as they come. It's going to be fun.
So, man, we have had an awesome show, man. It's not all the time that we have three guests, but when we do, we do it to the best of our ability, man. Man, three awesome guests. So we had G on from Justin and G from 710 Cairo. And we also had our guest number two, none other than Mark Dembski, news and sports anchor for Fox 40 in Sacramento. And then guest number three, Jason Gesser from the IMG Network and Wazoo analyst for the Washington State Cougars. Man, it's been an action-filled show, Sean Wally.
You better believe it, the trifecta of guests. Everybody have a safe Halloween. Double and triple check your treats that your little ghosts and goblins may bring home, and be safe. And if you're going to Pullman, be extra safe. Be careful on the roads. Have a great time at the football game, Martin Stadium, or any stadium you may be heading to this weekend.
That's right, man. Of course, we have some big games, as we had talked about. Stanford invading Pullman, so Wazoo playing the Cardinal. Of course, the Oakland Raiders taking on the New York Jets at O.co. I will be there working for CBS. And, of course, Sean Wally, the Seattle Seahawks and the Dallas Cowboys will be playing. And, man, it's going to be a lot of fun. And as Sean Wally said, make sure that you are having a safe and happy Halloween. As we always say here on The Double, you're not in the game unless you take a shot. And when you take that shot, we hope that it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. This has been a DSX LLC production. For Sean Wally up in the Pacific Northwest, Sean Boyd here in the EG studios in Elk Grove, California, Don Newsom in Paradise, California. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Happy Halloween. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests on The Double with the Double S Express.